Okay, the topic for today's shir is a mitzvah of tzitzis. Mitzvah of tzitzis appears in Chumash that if a person is wearing a garment that has four corners, he's obligated to put tzitzis in the four corners. What if the fellow is wearing a garment that has five corners or more? This is a machlokes hatanoim, and we pask in halacha that one is chayv in tzitzis, but only in four of the five corners. Which garments are we talking about? Any kind of a garment? So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim. One opinion in the Tanoim is that you only stam begadim ha'amurim b'Torah, stam beged is either tzemer or pishtim, either wool or linen. And if you're wearing a cotton garment or you're wearing a silk garment, the obligation to put tzitzis would only be midirabonim. The other opinion in the Tanoim is not so, that shar begadim, all garments, whatever the material is, are also chayv in tzitzis. This machlokes hatanoim is a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber paskins that it's only tzitzis is only a biblical obligation when the garment is made from tzemer or from pishtim, and cotton is only midirabbanan. And the Ramah paskins that cotton is also minatur. That's why in many have Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says based on the Shulchan Aruch, the many have a midas chasidus to wear tzitzis all day long, dafka to wear a woolen garment, to make sure that you're really fulfilling a mitzvah min haTorah, because we're just going to wear a cotton garment. So according to some opinions in Tanoim and in Shulchan Aruch, you'll only be in fulfillment of the mitzvah tzitzis min derabban. Fine. With respect to the prohibition of kilayim, one is not permitted to wear shatnez. So the Gemara points out that there are two psukim. One pasuk says lo silbas shatnez. You're not allowed to wear clothing made from shatnez. So if your jacket or your clothes are shatnez, here's the shatnez man. And then there's another pasuk that says, "Beged kalayim shatnez lo yale alecha." There's a prohibition of ha'aloh, even if you're not wearing the garment. Let's say a person goes to sleep at night and he has a blanket on top of him, and the blanket is shatnez. You can't say he's wearing it. It's not a garment. It's not a beged, but that's an iser ha'aloh. And the Gemara, at the beginning of Yevamos, points out that there are two prohibitions. There's an iser shatnez b'levisho, and there's an iser shatnez b'ha'aloh. What would you say regarding the mitzvah of tzitzis? Also like that. That just like by klaim, there are two dinim. There's a din of levisha, there's a din of halos. So by tzitzis also, a person has a blanket that has four corners, so he's chayv to put tzitzis. You're only obligated to put tzitzis. Alarba kanfas ksuscha shetachasebo means clothing. So the pashtus is only on clothing that you wear. If you have four-cornered blanket, pashtus says that you're not chayv in tzitzis. But the Magen Avraham quotes an obscure opinion from the Rishonim that even on a blanket, one would also be chayv in tzitzis. Usually, people go to sleep at night. So the blanket you're talking about is going to be at nighttime. So the Gemara says, we learn from the pasuk Urisa Moso, that Prat Laksus Laila, that at nighttime it's dark, you can't see the tzitzis. So the Gemara said, there's no mitzvah to wear tzitzis at night. So there's a machlokes harishonim, what that means. So the Rambam learns the Gemara Kipshuto, that the mitzvah of tzitzis is only noig by yom, it's not noig by laila, like the mitzvah of shaking a lulav. It's only by yom and not by laila. The mitzvah of tkiyah shofar is only by yom and not by laila. Tefillin is a machlokes in the Tanoim, whether laila is man tefillin min haTorah, it's only forbidden with the rabbanon to wear tefillin, or min haTorah laila is lav zman tefillin. So there are certain mitzvahs that you can only fulfill dovish mitzvahs by yom, and there's a dovish mitzvahs by laila. Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Megillah has such an expression. There are certain mitzvahs you can only fulfill by laila, certain mitzvahs you can only fulfill by yom. So the Rambam learns that the mitzvah of tzitzis can only be fulfilled by yom, cannot be fulfilled by laila. And Tosfos and the Rosh disagree with the Rambam, and they say no. The mitzvah tzitzis applies bein bayom and bein balayla. The Gemara just said that exus layla, pajamas, clothing that's miyuchad for wearing at night, those garments are patur min tzitzis. But if you wear a talis balayla, you wear an arba kanfas balayla, that's not exus hamiyuchad lalayla. That's a beged yom, you're wearing a balayla. So Tosfos' opinion is that a beged yom balayla, you would be chayiv in tzitzis. So when we're discussing the possibility of putting tzitzis on a blanket, so what kind of blanket are you talking about? We're talking about a blanket you go to sleep at night, and your blanket has four corners. So according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of tzitzis doesn't apply by laila, period. The mitzvah of tzitzis only applies in the daytime. Are you mechuyev to be machmer for that opinion, that a blanket also, the blanket has four corners? Just like by shatnez, there's a prohibition of ha'aloh, in addition to the prohibition of levisha. You're going to say by tzitzis also, you're obligated to put on tzitzis on a blanket. The Rambam holds balayla, you never do the mitzvah at all. So you're probably not mechuyev to be choshesh balayla. The question is bayom. If a person takes a nap in the daytime and it's chilly, he covers himself with a blanket that has four corners, does he have to be machmer to put on tzitzis that look ridiculous? Put on tzitzis on your blanket. The shayla should be machmer to round out one corner. So he won't have four corners, he'll have three corners, and one is going to be round. If it's round, it's for sure it's not chayiv in tzitzis. So they quote that the Chazon Ish used to be machmer, if the blanket would be made from wool, or the blanket would be made from linen, he would be machmer to round out one corner. But if the blanket would be made from any other material other than tzemer or pishtim, since it's a machlekes, but it's deraisa or derabanan, so he wasn't choshish for that opinion. This is an obscure opinion to say that a blanket is also, just like by shatnas, a blanket is also subject to the laws of shatnas, so too, a blanket is subject to the mitzvah of tzitzis. So the pashtus is, you're only choshish for that shita when it's mamish bayom, and it's for sure an issue deraisa. If it's going to be balaylo, if it's going to be sharminim from some other kind of material, see, they're not choshish for that. In Shulchan Aruch it says that the Chazan, who is the Shliach Tzibah for the purpose of reciting Slichas, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, should wear a talis, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet HaEgel, Vayavar Hashem Al Panov, Vayikra Hashem Hashem Kel Rachman Chanun. So Rabbi Yechanan is quoted in the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the first parak is saying, Vayavar Hashem Al Panov is Miloshen Shliach Tzibah Oivul of Nea Teva. The Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu as if he were a human being wearing a talis. Malam shenisatav Kadosh Baruch Hu kishliach tzibah, he put on a talis like a chazan, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, "Kol zman shebanei chotim, when the Jewish people will sin, yasu lefanek kiseder hazeh, let them appoint their shliach tzibah and let them say Hashem Hashem kel rachman chanan, let them do tshuva and recite the yugim amidus, v'ani moichal lahem, and I will forgive their sins." So because the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu as if he were a human being, as if he were a chazan wearing a talis, so it appears from that Gemara that the chazan who recites the Yud Gimel Midas and Slichas is supposed to wear a talis. But we always say Slichas in the middle of the night. He's supposed to say Slichas in the middle of the night, not in the daytime. So the question is, does it make sense to put on a talis by Laila? So the Taz, in his commentary on Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, when Shulchan Aruch quotes this, that the chazan should put on a talis, says, there is no obligation to wear a talis. There is no mitzvah to go wear tzitzis. The mitzvah is, if you're wearing a four-corner garment, then you're mechuyev to put on tzitzis. Like, there's no mitzvah to live in a house to put on a mezuzah. If a guy sleeps in the park, so you're not chayv in mezuzah. If a guy sleeps in the park, he doesn't have a home, he's not chayv in ma'ake. If you live in a house that has rooms that are chayv in mezuzah, then you're mechuyev to put a mezuzah. We're not mechuyev to go live in a house in order to be chayv in mezuzah. So the same thing is true regarding tzitzis. One is not obligated to put on a four-corner garment in order to be chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. If you don't wear a four-corner garment, it's nishan. So what are we doing over here? The fellow's going to go out of his way. The chazan is going to put on a talis at night. Now, a talis at night is a beged yom balayla. So according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of tzitzis doesn't apply balayla at all. According to Taisus and the Rosh, the mitzvah can apply balayla if it's a ksus yom balayla. So if a person puts on a talis balayla, puts on Arabic confidence balayla, he shouldn't say a bracha because it's a suffix bracha about tov. According to the Rambam, the mitzvah doesn't apply at all balayla. According to Taisus, it does apply. So the Taz says it's not proper to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be doing a mitzvah without a bracha. If a person, let's say, shook a lulav in an esrog in the morning, and he has a suffix, maybe the lulav was not kosher, maybe the esrog was not kosher, and the Sufik has to shake lulav again, so he has no choice. He shakes the lulav again. Will he bracha? He's not allowed to say a bracha. Maybe he was yotzei already. So we would apply the rule of Sufik brachas lahakel. But over here, there you're obligated to shake the lulav. And you don't know if you fulfill the mitzvah. So you have no choice. You have to shake the lulav again. Will he bracha? But over here, you're not obligated to put on the whole talis in the first place. You want to do a midas chasidus to put on the talis. Not to walk the Alaramas without tzitzis. So the Chazan wants to put on a talis because he's going to say slichas. So the Taz says that's not right to put on a four-corner garment at night, and it's a suffix if you're mechuyev in mitzvahs, mechuyev in the mitzvah tzitzis or not. So you're going to put yourself in a situation where you're going to perform a mitzvah without a bracha. That's not right. So the Taz recommends you shouldn't put on the talis at all. Either guy's a chazan, let him put on someone else's talis. The obligation to put tzitzis only applies if the talis belongs to me. Gedilim tasalcha alarba kafas ksuscha asher techasabo. If the talis belongs to you, if it's ksuscha. If the talis doesn't belong to you, so for sure you're not chayiv in tzitzis. So that's what the Taz recommends. And that should be the practice. Let's say somebody has yard site and is going to be the shliach tzibah for Ma'ariv. So the meaning is that the shliach tzibah puts on the talis. So he shouldn't put on his own talis. A lot of times in shul, you see people make a mistake. They take their own talis and they put it on before Ma'ariv. So the Taz says you're not supposed to put on your own talis balayla, because you're putting yourself into a situation where you're performing a mitzvah without a bracha. That's not right. So if you want to put on the talis balayla, put on someone else's talis. Put on the shul talis and have in mind not to be kaina. If you have in mind to be kaina the shul's talis, then it is shalcha. So then it's shalcha yechayv and tzitzis. So then again, you're putting on the talis without a bracha. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he points out a lot of people, instead of wearing woolen tzitzis and instead of wearing cotton tzitzis, will wear tzitzis made from mesh. So you have big holes, and you have strings here and there. And the holes are bigger than it's parutz meruba loimit. The hole, every garment has holes. Every talus has tiny holes. Teeny-weeny holes that are not visible to the naked eye. So that doesn't bother us. But if you have such big holes that the holes are bigger than the garment, so Rav Moshe said that's not considered a garment, and one is not in fulfillment of the mitzvah tzitzis if you wear such a mesh arba kamfis. Similarly, a lot of people wear a talus around their necks. They wear a silk talus just around the neck, doesn't cover the body. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that if you wear a talus only around the neck, the main purpose of the talus, it goes in the front also, but the main purpose of the talus is like a scarf. Let's say you wear a scarf that has four corners. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, the scarf is not chayvin tzitzit, even though it has four corners. The talus has to be the beged on which you want to put the tzitzit, has to be made for the purpose of covering a significant part of the body.
I once heard that a talus katan, or made out of polyester, should not be put on, not be worn. Made of polyester garment, only by cotton and wool can be wear.
The Gemara says that if you have a four-cornered garment made from leather, it's not chayv in tzitzis. Why is that? So the poskim assume, the Gemara never explains why, so the poskim assume that in order to be considered a beged for the purpose of tzitzis, you have to have a warp and a woof. Warp and a woof means it goes shesedier, it goes, you have strings that go crisscross, like this. So leather doesn't have any warp and a woof, it's just one sheet. So when you have polyester, there are two types. When you have nylon, synthetic material, there are two types. Let's say a lot of synthetic material is made from petroleum. So you can take the petroleum and make a sheet, one sheet of garment. So if it's a sheet that's not made from thread, that has a warp and a woof, that for sure is not chayv in tzitzis. The question is, what if you took the polyester and you made thread out of it? Then you took the thread and you made a warp and a woof. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that since you could have just as well taken the petroleum and convert it into one big sheet, you didn't have to make a warp and a woof. So even though you made thread out of the petroleum, and then from the thread you made a shes of the air, so Moshe holds that that's not chayv in tzitzis, like the leather is not chayv in tzitzis. Tzvi Pesach Frank and other poskim say, no, if you took the petroleum, made a sheet of material out of it, then it's takanat chayv in tzitzis, then it's like leather. But if you took the petroleum, you make thread out of it, and then you took the thread and you make a whoop and a woof, then they held that it is chayv in tzitzis. So that was a big machlekes 60, 70 years ago between Rav Moshe and other gedolim, whether polyester, where you have a whoop and a woof, whether it's chayv in tzitzis or not. How many strings are you supposed to have? Some follow Rav Moshe Feinstein, others follow Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, machlekes. No, Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank was a prominent Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Frank.
What's his name? Can we
read Tzvi? Tzvi Pesach Frank. He had two first names. A first name, a middle name, and a last name. His name was Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank. How many strings do you have to have on the tzitzis in each corner? So this is a big machlokes b'shamay and b'silu. B'silu, the rabbi opinion, they take three long strings and you fold them over, it turns into six, and you tie them up. And we don't follow b'silu over here, we follow b'shamay. The Gemara says that there are 24 cases where we pass them like b'shamay against b'silu. So this is one of the 24 cases. We pass them, take four long strings and you fold them in half, and you get eight little strings. How long do the strings have to be? What's the minimum length? So the Gemara says, four etzbos. An etzba is the width of the thick part of the thumb. Four etzbos, that's the whole thing. 4 inches? The whole thing is only 4 inches. So the Tosfos on that Gemara has two interpretations. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, l'chatchila, the proper way, the Hidur mitzvah is that you should have the first third of the tzitzis should be wound around, and the two thirds after that should be loose. So Tosfos interprets the first third that's wound around should be 4 inches, and the other, that's one third, and the other one should be two thirds. So sach hakol, it should be 12 inches, 12 etzbos, and the first third that has the part that's wound around, that should be 4 inches. Then Shulchan Aruch, there's another opinion, no, that the whole length of the whole tzitzis only has to be 4 inches long. The first third of that is 1 1/3 inches, should be wound around. And the rest should be only adding up to 4 inches. We don't follow that opinion. So we normally have much longer tzitzis. We have tzitzis that are 12 inches long. Is there any hidur mitzvah in having longer mitzvah, longer tzitzis? Some people like that, very long tzitzis. It drags all the way down to the floor. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch point out that in the Mishnah, in the beginning of Peah, it starts that Eilu Dvarim She'ein Lahem Shir, Apeah Vabikurim Aroyin, etc. So there's so many more mitzvahs that don't have a shir. How come the Mishnah doesn't mention the length of the tzitzis Ein Lahem Shir? So the Yerushalmi answers on that Mishnah, the Mishnah is only mentioning things Eilu Dvarim She'ein Lahem Shir, that if you give more Peah, there's a minimum how much payah you have to have, but there's no maximum. So if you donate more to the poor, you give more payah, you have a bigger mitzvah. Payah v'habikurim. Bikurim is a minimum how much you have to give. There's no maximum. You want to give more bikurim gezotei. So it's very nice. You have an added kima mitzvah. You have enhanced the mitzvah. You gave the kohanim more than the bare minimum. Haroyon. Royon means when you bring an oil asriya to the Beis HaMikdash on Shalosh Regalim and Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. So there's a minimum and there's no maximum. If you want to bring many korbanos, the korban has a minimum value that it has to have. You want to bring a more expensive korban, many korbanos, that you enhance the kima mitzvah. But if you have longer tzitzis, that's not mentioned in the Mishnah, because you're not enhancing the mitzvah by having longer tzitzis. You don't gain anything. It's not a hidden mitzvah to have longer tzitzis. The Gemara has a din of gardume. The Gemara says, draws a contrast, the Gemara in Menachos. There's a perek in Menachos that's called perek hatcheles. Has all the dinim of tzitzis there. And the end of the previous perek in Menachos, hatcheles is the third perek, the end of the second perek in Menachos has all the dinim of tzitzis. Has all the dinim of mezuzah and tefillin. And the laws of tzitzis on the beginning of perek hatcheles. So the Gemara draws a contrast between tzitzis and tefillin. If I had a pair of tefillin, and the tefillin have to be square, have to be merubos. So let's say, when I started off, everything was kosher, and now the ribua, the square shape, got a little out of shape, and it's no longer square. Or some of the letters got rubbed out on the tefillin, or a part of the bottom, a part of the parsha has got a little ruined. So the Gemara says it's no good, even though you started off with the kosher tefillin, it's no good. But if you started off with kosher tzitzis, they were long enough, they had the proper length, and then some of the strings ripped. So then the Gemara says that's called gardume. Gardume means I started off, all the strings had the proper length, and after I tied everything, after it's kosher tzitzis, then they ripped. So then the Gemara says, if it's gardume by tzitzis is good. If it will be gardume by tefillin, it would be no good. The Rabbi Natam is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Natam is quoted by Tosfos, and Rabbi Natam's opinion has been adopted in the Shulchan Aruch, even though the other Rishonim don't seem to agree with Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam has a machlokes with the other Rishonim in how many strings of the tzitzis are supposed to be tcheles and how many are supposed to be lovan. It says in the Chumash, "V'nasna tzitzis hakonaf psil tcheles." So we usually assume that psil means a string of tcheles. So what does that mean, one string? So the Rambam understands that if one string out of eight means you're going to die a half a string. You have four long strings. One string, one of the long strings, half of it is going to be dyed blue. It doesn't mean that I make a string and then I dip half of the string into the blue dye. That's not going to work, because if you already make the string and twine it around, then you're going to dip it in the blue dye. It'll only be dyed blue on the outside. The inside will remain white. So the din is you have to dye the wool. The tchelus string has to be wool. That's what Gemara says. The other strings, the Gemara says it depends. The Gemara says if you have strings that are made from wool, normally all the strings are made from wool. You have strings made from wool or strings made from linen, so this is good. The woolen strings are good even if the garment is made from silk. But silk tzitzis, silk strings, are only good if the garment is made from silk. Cotton strings are only good if the garment is made from cotton. But if you have tzemer strings or pishtun strings, so that's good even if the garment is cotton and even if the garment is silk. That's the common practice, that everybody uses woolen strings even if the garment is from silk or even if the garment is from cotton. You don't use cotton strings, you use woolen strings. So this halacha that the strings can be, let's say, I have a silk garment. So you can use strings that are silk. The strings have to be made lishmo. You can use silk strings. Or let's say you have a silk garment, so you can use linen strings. So this is only for the lovan strings. For the trelis, the Gemara says, trelis has to be a specific material, namely, the trelis string has to be wool, and the trelis string has to be a specific color, a specific dye. We'll get to that a little later. So the Rambam's opinion that Nas not tzitzis hakana psil trelis means one out of the eight strings is blue. It doesn't mean you take a long string and you dye and you dip half of it into the dye and you make half of it blue. That's not going to work, because when you dye it after it's already twined, after it's already made into a string, it's only going to dye the outside. The inside is going to be white. It'll be colorless. So you have to dye it when it's wool, and then the dye will go through and through. And then you have to spin the string using half wool. It's much more difficult. You have to use wool that's dyed blue for one half of the string, and wool that's not dyed at all, white wool, for the other half of the string. That's quite a difficulty, according to the Rambam, that you have one out of the eight strings is trelis. The Rabbi disagrees with the Rambam, and he says, no, that's not tzitzis hakana psil trelis. Psil means a string, a whole long string. You have to have four long strings. So one whole long string should be blue, and the other four strings, three strings, should be white. So Rashi and Tosfos and the Gemara Perek HaTchelis disagree with both the Rambam and the Ravid. They say that from the four long strings, two should be blue and two should be white. How can you say two should be blue? But the Pasuk says, V'nos not tzitzis hakanav psil tchelis. One string should be blue. How can they say two? So they learn that the word psil in Chumash does not mean a string. The word psil means, like the Pasuk says, Naftuli lekim niftalti imachosi. When Leah had her baby Naftali, so she named the baby Naftali. Why? Because Naftuil Elikim Niftalti Imachoisi, I was wrestling with my sister, who's going to have children? Who's going to have more children? So the word psil doesn't mean string. The word psil means sidreit. Rashi writes like that on Chumash. The Pasuk says in Shiras Hazino, Dor Ikesh Uf Salto. And generations, so Rashi writes, the word psaltal means tzedreit balaz. Rashi spoke German. Dori keshu psaltal means tzedreit. So the word psil tchelis means wound around. Where do we get it? That we have strings and tzitzis, and one third we wind around, and the two thirds are loose. Where does it come from? You have to wind around. So that's based on the word psil tchelis. The word psil means tzedreit. It should be wound around. So the Rabbi Natam and Rashi on the Gemara Perek HaTchelis are of the opinion that from the four strings, we paskel like Beshama. You have to have four strings, not three. So we paskel that the Rabbi Natam and Rashi hold that two out of the strings should be blue, chelis, and two should be white. So the Rabbi Natam learns in this Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch only quotes this Rabbi Natam. Shulchan Aruch, when they discuss how many strings have chelis, they don't quote the Rambam, that is one out of eight. They don't quote the Ravid, it's one out of four. They only quote the Rabbi Natam. It's two blue and two white. And it's relevant, has been relevant for so many generations, even though the trelis was missing, it was relevant when you get to this din of gardume, that if you had originally the tzitzis have the correct length, and then the tzitzis ripped, and it's no longer the correct length, so the Gemara says that it's good, so the Rabbi Natam reads in the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, if you have two full strings that are the right length, two lovon are two trellis. So the loven is perfect and the trellis ripped a little bit. Or the trellis has the perfect length and the loven ripped a little bit. So since one unit is kosher, still kosher, has the right length, even though the other unit is no longer has the proper length that it should have had at the very beginning, at the outset, when you started to tie it. But since two are shalem and the other two are a little bit shorter, so then gardumi is good. So in the days of the Gemara, when they really had trellis, so you have to have either the loven should be shalem or the trellis should be shalem. Today we have four strings. So how can you say which two are loven, which two are trellis? So Rabbi Natan says, as long as two of the long strings are full in their length, and the other two are torn a little bit, so then it'll be kosher. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should always try to be careful to separate the four strings, you should keep them separate, so that you know that if, let's say, if three strings will get torn, so you know, are they three? You won't know are they three different strings got torn, and three strings are not the right length. Maybe it's only two. Maybe the two of the strings that ripped are the two ends of one long string. So if you keep the strings separate from the beginning to the end, all the strings that came out on one side will be kept on one side. You have it when you make the tzitzis, you keep it separate with your fingers. So then you'll be able to judge. You'll be able to know later on whether three strings ripped or only two strings ripped. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's the only opinion that's quoted, is Isra Ben Tam, that the Lovan and the Trelis is supposed to be two Lovan and two Trelis. The Gemara has a din. It says, V'osu lahem tzitzis, al-kantavignem, V'osu tasuv lamin ha'osu, that you have to tie the tzitzis on the beged, you have to have a proper asiyah. V'osu lahem. Let's say I have an old talis, and the talis is all yellow and it's all worn out, but the tzitzis are perfect, and so I'm going to throw out the old talis. I can't use it, no one wants to wear it, but I want to take the scissors and cut out the corner. The corner has the tzitzis tied onto it properly. So I'll cut off the corner, and I'll take a new talis, I'll cut off the corner there, and I'll sew this corner onto the other talis. So the tzitzis will already be sewn. The tzitzis will already be tied onto the corner before I sew it onto the beged. So the Gemara says that's possible. That's called tasav elamen o'asi. You have to tie the tzitzis onto the beged when the beged has the right size. But if I tied it on originally to one beged, then I cut the corner off. So you cut the corner off. That's not a big enough beged, that's chayv in tzitzis. Then I sew this corner onto a larger talis. Now all of a sudden I have a big talis that has tzitzis on it, but the tzitzis were not tied onto the garment where the garment was chayv in tzitzis. So that's a psul. The Gemara derives from the pasuk tasav elamen o'asi. The Shulchan Aruch quotes a din that does not appear in the Gemara. Shulchan Aruch quotes a din that appears in the Sifrei, at the end of Parsha Shlach, that the tzitzis has to be notefes al hakeret. Means each one of the four corners of the tzitzis, instead of having the tzitzis comes out from the hole and it goes down. So instead of having it go straight down, you should see to it that the tzitzis should be pulled out from the side and then hang down. It should be no tefes al hakeret. And if the tzitzis, very often the tzitzis moves over, the tzitzis in the corner moves over and hanging straight down. So you should correct it. You should pick the tzitzis up that it should come out sideways and then hang down no tefes al hakeret. In Shulchan Aruch, the commentaries Abba Machlokes, what if a person puts on his talis on Shabbos? He sees that the tzitzis are all hanging down instead of hanging sideways and hanging down. Is that a violation of the second mana? But the other, the tzitzis is kosher like that. So if you're going to move it sideways, it should come out sideways and then hang down. It should be not tevis ala keren. So now you're going to be yotze the mitzvah b'shleimusa. So that's a machlokes achrayim that the Shari Tshuva quotes next to the Behete. Is that a violation of the second mana or not? The Rif in Sukkah writes like this: there is a machlokes hatanoim regarding hadasim arabis and lulav. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion lulav tzarach eged. If it's not tied together, you're not yotze the mitzvah. And we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass on the chatchila. It's a mitzvah min amufcha to have it tied together. Yishum zekele mianveyu. It's a hida mitzvah. But the yevet, if you picked up the hadasim arabis and the lulav and it wasn't tied together, so you would be yotze the mitzvah b'di yevet. So the Rif says, therefore, since we pass like the Chachamim, the Lulav, ain't a tzorach eged, It's only a hida mitzvah, zekeli anveil, but you yotze without the eged, even if it's not tied together. So the Rebbe says, therefore, you're permitted to tie the eged on yontif, not going to make a knot, you're permitted to wrap it around on yontif, and it's not a violation of misakin mana. Sounds from the Rebbe that if you would have held like Rebbe Yudah, the lulav tzarech eged leikuva, if you don't have an eged, you're just not yotze the mitzvah, then you wouldn't be allowed to put the eged on yontif, because that would be a violation of misakin mana. You're making the lulav kosher limitzvasa. Like the Mishnah says, let's say you have hadasim and hadasim have a lot of berries on them. We never have hadasim with the berries, they already pulled them off. Or either they never grew, or if they did grow, the merchant pulled them off already. So the Mishnah says, if you have hadasim that has anov of merubim me'alav, you have more berries than you have, sometimes berries do grow on the hadas branch. If you have anov of merubim me'alav, you have more berries than you have leaves, so you have to pluck off the berries to be machsha the hadasim. And then the Mishnah says, ve'eim ematem b'yontav. You're not allowed to rip off the berries on the yontav because that's a violation of misakin mana. That's a machlokes. So Rishonim, if someone will rip off the berries on yontav, will it be misakin mana deraisa? It will only be misakin mana derabon. Tosfos writes, there's a big Tosfos in Yuma, daf lamed hey, lamed vav, gigantic Tosfos. It's the middle of the big Tosfos. Tosfos assumes that davar pashut, that it's only misakin mana mid derabon. It's not really a misakin mana min haTorah. Misakin mana min haTorah means you have a broken fork, a broken knife, and you fix it. Here, just not yotze the mitzvah if it's a pasul hadas. It's just a tikkun and halacha, it's not a tikkun and mitzvahs. And Rabbi Kivega on the side of the Tosfos refers you to the Mordechai b'shem Rav Yoh, that this constitutes a misakin mana deraisa. So here, this is the machlokes. This is the machlokes. Again, the Rif writes that if the din would have been like Rav Yudah, the lulav tzarech eged, it would be prohibited, either prohibited min haTorah, prohibited min derabbanan, would constitute misakin mana if you put the eged on yontif. We paskin lulav ein tzarech eged, so it's only lehida mitzvah, so that's not a violation of misakin mana. So here, the din requires, this is more than hider mitzvah. Here, the nikar din, the mitzvah b'shleimusa, requires that there should be no tefes ala keren. The tzitzis shouldn't be hanging straight down from the hole down, it should be sideways and then hanging down. That's called no tefes ala keren. So if on Shabbos you see that your tzitzis are hanging down and you fix it and you pull it out sideways, it should be no tefes ala keren. So that's a machlokes and achronim quoted by the Shari Tshuva. Would that be a violation of misakin mana? Because it's a higher level than hider mitzvahs, more than zakeli v'andei. Here it's a mitzvah b'shleim musa that it should be no tefes ala keren. So that's why some achronim hold that that's a violation of misakin mana on yontif. Many people wear a long kapata, they wear a long jacket, and the kapata has two corners in the front, and then it has in the back, there has a slit that goes up all the way halfway in the back. So you have two corners in the back. So if you have four corner garments, you have to put tzitzis on the kapata. So in order to avoid looking funny, in order to avoid having to put the tzitzis on the kapata, so you'll notice, if you look, you notice that many people round out one of the corners. It only has three corners that are right angles, and the fourth corner is rounded out, so there's no chiyuv tzitzis. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that this diktuk, that a person should round out one of the corners, is only necessary if the slit in the kapata in the back goes up more than half. Let's say the kapata is a tall kapata, and it only goes up 2/5 of the way. It doesn't really go more than 50% of the way up from the top to the bottom. So then it's not called a corner. Then it's not considered four corners. That's two corners in the front. Those are clearly two corners. Two corners in the back are not considered corners. In Eretz Yisrael, they have companies that manufacture arba kanfes to wear. So they make it like a sweatshirt. So it has a sleeve, and it's connected over here. The front and the back are connected. And then it's a slit on both sides. And sometimes the slit does not go up rubai. Some of the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael told them it only has to go rubai from the bottom of the armpit to the bottom of the beged. 51% of that should be slit. That's against what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, it says it should be rubai from the top of the garment, and the top to the bottom, it should be rubai slit. So if you say a bracha on such an arba kanfes, it's a bracha levatol. It's not chayv in tzitzis. We mentioned before that the Mitzvah of tzitzis only applies if you're wearing a four-corner garment, then you're obligated to put tzitzis on. You're not obligated to wear a four-corner garment. So where does our practice come from? That in Shulchan Aruch they recommend everyone should go out of their way to buy a four-corner garment in order to be obligated to put on tzitzis. So Tosfos writes like that. And Tosfos says that based on the Gemara, the end of the first parak in Soita, the Gemara asks, why was Moshe Rabbeinu so interested and crossing over the Yarden? Medrash says he offered so many hundreds of prayers to the Rebbe Shlomo, who wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. What did he want to go to Eretz Yisrael? To swim in the Kinneret? Lechem Vipiryo with his Baal Mituva. He wanted to have the land flowing with the milk and the honey. He wanted the milk and the honey in Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, no, he wasn't interested in the Gashmias to enjoy Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go fulfill the mitzvahs HaTliyos Baretz. What do you have to fulfill? If you live in Chutz Lord, you're not mechuyim in the mitzvahs and the agricultural mitzvahs. So you see from that Gemara, the end of the first parak in Soito, that a person who's a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu goes out of his way to be mechayim himself in mitzvahs. Even though where he is now, he's not mechuyim in the mitzvah. You should go out of your way in order to make yourself mechuyim in mitzvah. So that's what Tosfos says based on that Gemara. Everyone should go out of their way to wear a four-cornered garment in order to be chayim in mitzvah. Then the Tosfos quotes, other Rishonim say, what kind of a chutzpah is that? Who do you think you are, like Moshe Rabbeinu? When you'll be a tzaddik on the Madrega, Moshe Rabbeinu, it'll make sense. You should put on a four-corner garment in order to obligate yourself to wear tzitzis. The Gemara talks sometimes about something is not proper to do because you are raw. It looks like gaiva. You think you're on the Madrega, Moshe Rabbeinu. So the other Balei Tosfos think that it's not right. The Hamoy Nam, everybody should wear a four-corner garment. It's not right. There were such communities by the Sfardim. They had communities, but only the rabbi wore a talis. The Balabatim didn't wear a talis. I have some distant relative who lives in Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure if he comes from Morocco or from Tayman, wherever he comes from. He says he feels very upset. He remembers before he moved to Eretz Yisrael, that was their minhag. Only the rabbi wore a talis. And now they moved to Eretz Yisrael, so they caved in and they did the minhag like everybody else does, and this whole kehillah lost all of their minhag. He says that was their minhag, that is mechzik yuhara, is considered an act of arrogance, that the balabos should put on a talis. Their minhag was only the rabbi put on a talis. We have such as the Ashkenazim do put on not only the rabbis, everybody puts on a talis, but we have such a practice that single people don't wear a talis. There's such a strange medrash. You have two psukim, one next to the other. Ki yikach yishisha chadosha is right next to the pasuk of gedilin tasa lecho. So there's a medrash that says, it's not the famous medrash, it's one of the later midrashim that was written in the days of the Rishonim. The son of the Vilna Gaon put out a sefer, a bibliography of all of the midrashim. And he lists off all the midrashim that are available in print and those that are in manuscript. And then if it's a medrash that people never heard of, so he tells you a little bit about it. So he's the one who points out this medrash. In his time it was in a manuscript. Now by now it's already printed. So he points out the Medrash says the smichas hapsukim. In Chumash Dvarim, the Gemara says we always darshan smuchim. Why is one pasuk next to the other pasuk? The Gemara says in Bereishis through Bamidbar you don't darshan smuchim. You only darshan if two dinim are written in the same pasuk. That's called a ekish. You assume that there's a connection. But if you have two dinim written in two psukim that are adjacent to each other, you don't darshan smuchim. But in Mishnah Torah, in Chumash Dvarim, you do darshan smuchim. So the Medrash draws your attention to this, that you have the pasuk Gedilin Tasa Lecho is right next to the pasuk of Ki Yikach Yishisha Chadosha, that the minhag is that the man only wears a talis after he gets married. What is that all about? So we have such a minhag. Many have the minhag that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, some people only have on Yom Kippur, all the married men in shul wear a kittel. And the single people don't wear a kittel. Why is that? So wearing the kittel. And then in Hungary, they had a minhag in the 1800s. They had a minhag in Hungary that the first year after you got married, you didn't wear a kittel. Only the next year. Why? So the Maram Shik writes in his Tshuvas, because he used to get married at such a young age, it looked like the kid was a baby. He got married at 16, 17. So I have a little baby putting on a kittel. It looks like a joke. A year after marriage, he already settled down and he became more serious. And there was such a minhag. Many have a minhag that single people don't wear a talis. Also like Mechziki Yuhara. He looks like a little child. What's he put on a talis? He's going to look like an angel. He's a little baby. So after they get married, they became more serious, and then they would put on a talis. It's the same minhag that these Sfardim had from Morocco, from Tayman, wherever this relative of mine is, that the, only the Rabbanim would wear a talis, the Balabatim wouldn't wear the talis. So they had a, so in much of Eastern Europe, they had a meaning that the single people don't wear a talis. It's like Merzi Ki Yuhara. We have two midrashim that speak based on Pesukim and Chumash Bereishis, and speak about the fact that the Jewish people were given the mitzvah of tzitzis as a reward for something that our ancestors did. So one medrash says that because Avram Avinu, the Gemara has this agarta, because Avram Avinu refused to take anything after the Muhammad with the five kings, with the four kings, Avram Avinu refused to take anything. Imekach mikol shalach michut v'atzrech na'al. So because he said michut, so his descendants were zeche to the chutim of tzitzis. Because it said tzroch na'al, his descendants were zeche, they didn't have shoelaces, they had shoe straps. And the shoe straps were exactly the way we have ritzuas on tefillin. The chalitza shoe is exactly like that. The shoe straps on the chalitza shoe are exactly like tefillin. They're black on one side and white on the other side. It's the same size as tefillin straps. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara has this agarata, because Avram Avinu did a Kiddush Hashem, and he refused to take Michut V'atzrech Na'al, that his descendants were zechet to these two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Chutei Atzitzis as a reward for his refusing to take Chut, and we were zechet to the mitzvah of Chalitza as a reward to the fact that he refused to take Tzrech Na'al. Then you have another medrash that Rashi and Chumash quotes, that because when Noach, after the Mabul, Vayita Noach, Noach planted a vineyard, and then he made wine, and he got drunk. And then he undressed himself. He didn't know what he was doing. He was so drunk. So his grandson, Canaan, was making fun of the grandfather. So the Pasuk said, Ve'ikach Shem ve'yefes es asimlo, ve'yisimo al shchem shneyem. That Shem and Yefes went in to cover up the father, and they went in backwards, so they shouldn't see the father when he was naked. They were makben akibirab. So the Medrash says that because Shem, so the Jewish people are descendants of Shem. That's why those who hate the Jews are called anti-Semites. Even though there are many other Goyim who are descendants from Shem. But we use this expression, anti-Semites, only with respect to the Jewish people. Even though the others are also Semitic nations. So the Medrash says that because Shem did this mitzvah, of keep it up, to cover over the father, so that's why the descendants of Shem were zeche to the beggar, to the talish of tzitzis. So the commentaries on Chumash say, isn't there a bit of a contradiction over here? Were we given the mitzvah of tzitzis as a reward for what Shem did, that he went to cover over the father, as a reward for what Avram Avinu did, that he said mechut v'atzrech na'al, he did a kiddush Hashem? So the Mefarshim say the two parts to the mitzvah: the beged that we wear, the beged of the talis, or the beged of the arba kampis, that's as a reward for what Shem did. Vayikach Shem v'yefes es hasimlo. So the beged shel tzitzis is a reward for what Shem did. And the tchutim of the tzitzis is a reward for what Avram Avinu did. So that's why the Magen Avram quotes from the Arizal, the more correct is when you wear the beged should not be worn over the shirt. The beged should be under the clothing, and the chutim should be exposed. Why? Because the whole idea, what was the whole idea that Shem went? Pasuk says, Vayikach Shem v'yefes asasim. Why does it say Vayikach? It should say Vayikhu in the plural. Why does it say in the singular? So the Gemara said, the Medrash says that it was really Shem's idea. Yefes wasn't going to do it. But Yefes saw that Shem is doing something good, so he said, hey, under the circumstances, etiquette dictates that I should also help him out. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik explained that there's such a thing as ethics, there's such a thing as etiquette. Etiquette, and other people are watching, so you don't pick your nose, and you don't eat the chicken with your hands, you eat with a fork and a knife. But nobody's watching, so there's no issue of etiquette. But then it's a question of ethics. Ethics, you have to do the right thing even if nobody's watching. So Shem went to cover over the father when he was drunk, when Noach was drunk, even though no one was doing anything. He thought ethics dictates we have to go cover the father, we shouldn't leave him like that. Yefes only went along because he saw Shem is doing it. It's not nice that he should do it, I shouldn't do it. Yefes wouldn't have done it on his own. He only did it because Shem was doing it. So under the circumstances, etiquette dictates he has to go along. So he went along. So we were given the mitzvah of beged shel tzitzis as a reward for what Shem did. So that's why the Magen Avraham quotes from Narizal, you should have the beged shel tzitzis under the shirt. Shouldn't be exposed. It should be private. We do mitzvahs. We do the right thing, even if nobody sees it. But the chutim of the tzitzis, that would be given as a reward for what Avraham Avinu did. He refused to take mechut v'atzrach na'al. So that's not the same. That's not an issue of ethics versus etiquette. The chut of tzitzis, or the chut of tzitzis, should be exposed because a risimos, you should be able to see the tzitzis. That's the meaning of the Ashkenazim, that the beged should be covered up. You shouldn't wear the beged over your shirt. The beged should be under the shirt. That's what the Magen Avraham quotes from Narizal. And the chutim of the tzitzis should be exposed because a risimos. Acham Avadya in his Svarim quotes from the Svardish Gedolim that they follow sources in Kabbalah that it's not right to have the strings exposed. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive Achenu Ashkenazim who are violating this serious Avera based on the Kabbalah sources that you're not supposed to have the tzitzit exposed. But that was always the practice in Europe. The beged was covered and the chutei hatzitzis would be exposed because of the din of Harisim also. You have to say a few words about the trelas. So the Chumash says that you have to have trelas also. And the Shulchan Aruch only quotes the one opinion we mentioned before, the opinion of the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi on the Gemara, that you have two of the long strings are blue and two of the long strings are white. And we mentioned before that the blue string has to be wool, even if you have a silk talus and all the strings are silk, but the trelas strings have to be wool. Even if you have a cotton garment, and you want to wear cotton strings or whatever, but the strings that you're going to make trelas have to be wool, and it has to be dyed a specific color. What color is the trelas? As Gemara says, has to be trelas done by the Yabi Amukdamir Lakia, Lakia, Damir Kisiakov. The idea is trelas should be this color of the sky. What color is that? Blue, yeah, but is it the color of the sky in the daytime or color of the sky at nighttime? Is it a dark blue? Is it a light blue? So that's a machlekes Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi on Chumash at the end of Parsha Shlach says, Tchelis is supposed to be the color of the sky at midnight. So it's dark, dark blue. It's almost black. Dark blue. Rashi says, Tchelis is Miloshen Tichlo, death. Death to the Mitzrayim that Makas Becharis occurred at midnight. So wearing the Tchelis is supposed to be reminiscent of the Makas Becharis. Tchelis, according to Rashi, is representative of Midas Adin. And the Rambam says not so. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tzitzis that Tchelis is the color of the sky in the afternoon. It's light blue. So that's what the Kabbalah Svarim writes, that according to the Rambam, Tchelis is supposed to represent when the sun is shining in the daytime. So it's like a Midas HaChesed. That's not the Midas HaGvura. That's not Midas HaDin. So that's a question. It's going to be the same dye. The only question is, should you dilute it, that it should be light blue, or should you not dilute it, so it should be dark blue? So that's a Shaila, Rashi and the Rambam. So the Gemara quotes a machlokes in the first daf, after the first Mishnah in Perek HaTcheles. Gemara quotes a machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim. What if you have tzitzis and you don't have any tcheles? You just have lavan. Are you in fulfillment? Are you in partial fulfillment of the mitzvah? The mitzvah b'shleimusa requires tcheles and lavan. If you only have lavan without tcheles, do you say there's a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah? Or do you say there's no mitzvah at all? Let's say a person has lulav, esrog, hadasim, and he doesn't have arugas. So the Mishnah says, the Dala Minimam Yakim Zezeh. Well, let's say he only has tzitzis for three corners, he doesn't have for the fourth corner. So that's a Machloikah Satanayim, Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. We pass on the Dala Tzitzios, a Yakim Zezeh. He only put in three corners, he didn't put in the fourth corner. The way we pass on Aloha, you don't have any partial Kima Mitzvah, there's nothing, there's zero. So the question, what about Tchelis and Lovin? Should you say Tchelis is Ma'akibanayim? So that's a Machloikah Satanayim. So Rabbi's opinion is that Tchelis Ma'akibis is Alovin. And if you don't have, if you make all the strings trelas, they make all the strings lavan, no trelas at all, Rebbe says you're not yotze. You have to have part should be lavan and part should be trelas. And the Chachamim disagree with Rebbe. They're of the opinion that trelas is not me'akev es halavan, and lavan is not me'akev es trelas, unless you make all the strings blue. Nothing is lavan, everything is trelas. So the Chachamim say you would be yotze the mitzvah partially. The mitzvah b'shleimus says to have a balance between trelas and lavan. How much of a balance? So those were the three shittas. The Rambam says one of the eight strings, the Rabbi says one of the four strings, and Rashi and Tosfos on the Gemara say two and two. Two long strings should be blue, two long strings should be white. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rebbe? Do we paskin like the Chachamim? So the Gemara in Bamei Madlikin describes that one of the Tanaim used to bathe on Erev Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos, then he would get dressed up Shabbos day, and he would pair a talis with chelas, and he would sit and wait till Shabbos would come in anticipation of Shabbos. So on that, when the Rif quotes that Gemara, Rabbi Nizrachi Alevi, who wrote the Sefer Hamor, Rabbi Nizrachi Alevi lived in Provence, and he lived in the city Lunel, and the word Lunel means the moon. So he named the Sefer, that's what he writes, he named the Sefer Hamor HaKoton because of the fact that he lived in Lunel. But then when he gets to Nezikin, he says he can't learn Nezikin just through the light of the moon. Nezikin is very complicated. So for Nezikin Yini, the sun should be shining. So he calls the Sefer Amar HaGadol. On the beginning of Shas, it's called Amar HaKotan, Al Shein Iro, that he came from Lunel. And then from Nezikin to the end, it's called Amar HaGadol, because he needs sunlight to learn Nezikin. So the Rabbi Nizrachi Alevi, when the Rif quotes this story, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava would get dressed up, look over Shabbos, and wait in anticipation for Shabbos. So the Balamor says, and he wore trelas, the Gemara says. So he, and that's the din. The din is like Rebbe, and you don't have trelas, so you don't wear tzitzis. So the Ramban writes over there, in the Mohammeds, we heard that the Balamor never wore tzitzis, he never wore talis, never wore an abakafis. Because he paskens like Rebbe, that trelas makevis is halavon. Just like Dalaminim Shebelula, Ma'akvim says, just like you need tzitzis in all four corners. If you're missing one corner of the tzitzis, you're not, there's no partial credit, you're not yet seeing anything at all. So the Balamor had that chelus and love and a makam zezer. So you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. So he didn't. We didn't have any chelus. Chelus got lost in the days of the period of the Gaonim. So the Balamor didn't wear tzitzis. So the Ramban says we don't pass like that. We hold that chelus and a makabas as a love. And the din is not like Rebbe. The din is like the Chachamim. There was the Vilna Goyen lived in Vilna in the 1700s. He had no official capacity in Vilna. He was not the rabbi. He was not a dayan. He was a private individual. He was respected by the whole community, but he was not the official dayan. So the dayan in Vilna, during the lifetime of the Vilna Goyen, Rabbi Socha Ber, wrote a sefer on Chumash that's called Revin HaZohav, where he gives Mar Mekoymes on Chumash. He tells you to look in a Gemara here, and a Yerushalmi there, and a Tosfos, and a Tshuvas Maharik, and a Tshuvas Nadi Bihuda, and a Tshuvas Shagazar. He gives you Mar Mekoymes to Rishayim, Achrayim, very fascinating. And much of what the Revin HaZohav was copied in the Torah Tmimah. Torah Tmimah writes in his introduction that he's using a lot the Revid Azov. So the Revid Azov has an original suggestion. He says he can prove from the Chumash, he can make a drasha from the Pasuk that the din is like the Chachamim of Rebbe, that Chelis is not Me'akevis as Halovan. Why? Because the Pasuk says you should put Sitzis al Kantavig Deim Lidoroisam. Lidoroisam for all generations. How can it be for all generations? But we live in a generation that we don't have any Chelis. So you see that there's still a mitzvah of tzitzis. Even though we live in a generation where there's no tchelis, tchelis is not me'akevis. Where did he get such an idea? That whenever it says l'daros, it means even in a generation when you're missing something. So the Gemara says like that. The Gemara raises the question, increases, daftes. How can we today accept a ger, a non-Jew who wants to convert? The Pasuk says that a non-Jew who converts is obligated to bring a korban oiler to the Beis HaMikdash. Of his banshei Beis HaMikdash kayim. Shouldn't be able to accept any gerim. So the Gemara says no. Since the pasuk says in Chumash, "V'chiyokaritchem ger ledoyra seichem," if through any of the future generations a non-Jew will convert, so you have to accept it. And it says ledoyra seichem, "V'chiyokaritchem ger ledoyra seichem." In all generations, even if you live in a generation where there's no Beis HaMikdash. So similarly, that's what the Vilna Dayan wrote in the Sefer Revid Azov. It says. The Raisam, you should put tzitzis on the Darasechem throughout all the future generations, even if you live in a generation where you don't have any tchelas. Yeah. How come we don't have any tchelas? So the Gemara says in the Raman quotes that tchelas is only kosher if it's a specific color, and it has to come from a specific source, it has to come from the chalozon. Halos and some kind of a marine animal that lives in the Mediterranean, and they use the dye that they get from this chalazon to make chelas. So in the days of the Tanaim, there were fakers who would sell imitation chelas. They would charge a fortune of money because the chelas are very expensive, and they would give them imitation chelas, and that would be klo ilon, kuf lamed aleph klo ilon, aleph yud lamed nun. What is klo ilon? What color is the chelas supposed to be? Some kind of blue. So what shade of a blue? So we had a machlek, his Rashi and the Rambam is supposed to be dark, dark blue, the color of the sky at midnight. It's supposed to be the color of the sky in the afternoon. But what kind of a shade of blue? This kind of blue, some other kind of blue. So the Gemara says that the fakers used to fool the public. They used to sell klo'ilon instead of tchelos. They're all going to be punished. So what is klo'ilon? So the Oruch is a dictionary that Rashi and Taisus used. The Oruch was a Rishon who lived in Rome, Rabbeinu Nosson, Bal HaOruch. There were a lot of Rishonim lived in Rome. He used to have a lot of yeshivas there during his Bombay Sheni. They ascertained that there were 13 shuls, at least 13 shuls in Rome during the period of Bai Sheni. So the Oruch was a Rishon who wrote a dictionary, the Sefer Oruch, and he translates the word Klo'ilon as indigo. Indigo, we know what color indigo is, blue. Indigo comes from a vegetable. It doesn't come from chalazon. But there's no way to identify by any chemical testing whether what you have is Klo'ilon or tchelos. It's exactly the same composition, chemical composition. There's no way to figure out where it came from. So that's why the fakers used to fool the public. They used to sell Klo'ilon. Klo'ilon is much easier to acquire. It's not so expensive. They used to charge blood kosher prices for the imitation tchelos. So we know what color it's supposed to look like. So this, the tradition, what the chalazon is, was somehow lost. It was very peladic. It was lost in the days of the Gadim, in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the Amoraim, there's still what tchelos. But the Gemara says that when the people would be traveling from Eretz Yisrael bringing tchelos dye to Bavel, that they should dye the wool, so the Gemara says they were always hiding, they shouldn't get caught by the police. What's the issue? Apparently the Goyim were upset that the Jews were using tchelos. So that's what they write in the history books, that this was considered the royal blue. That the government, the Goyish government, said it's only reserved, it was very expensive stuff. This tchelos comes from the chalazon, and you get two drops. You get two drops of one chalazon. You have to have hundreds and hundreds of these fish in order to get enough dye, in order to dye one talus. You have to have so many chalazonis. So the Goyim reserved the davka for the royalty, and for the sometimes they allowed the members of the cabinet of the government to wear tchelos, and they wouldn't allow the Hamoin Am to wear tchelos. So that's what the Gemara says, that the people who were carrying the tchelos dye, the containers of dye to Bavel, had to hide it to make sure that they don't get caught by the government. They would put him in prison. So that's why the tchelos got lost. There was a period in history that the tchelos got lost. In the late 1800s, there was a Chassidish Rebbe, the Radzina Rebbe, of Gershon Henoch Liner. He is known, he's the Bala Tchelos, but he's also known, he put out a Talmud Bavli on Seder Taras. We don't have any Gemara on Seder Taras. So he took all the Gemaras that discussed Mishnayos in Taras, and he took them from whatever Mesichta they are, and he made a Talmud Bavli on Seder Taras. He didn't make up his own Gemaras. He only used Gemaras that existed. And he printed it, it looks just like a Gemara, and he wrote his own commentary. He wrote it on Rashi and Taisvis. So when it came out, people, many Rabbanim were upset. He made up his own Gemara. He made an imitation Gemara. So in the second printing, they insisted that on every page it should say the Taras on top of the page, so no one should be fooled into believing that it's a real Gemara. But it is a real Gemara. He just collected all the Gemaras from all over the place. So he's known, this Radzina Rebbe, very learned. He was a big Goyna. He's very learned. He's known for the Seder Taras that he put out. He's also, he was known, he wanted to prepare for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The din is not only they need tchelos for the tzitzis, you need tchelos for the big day kuhuna. So if we're not going to have tchelos, the big day kuhuna will not be kosher, and we won't be able to have avodas hakarbonis. So he felt we shouldn't wait till Eliyahu Navi comes and everything is going to happen by itself. We should help along. We should prepare whatever we're able to prepare. So he wrote a whole sefer. At the end, he wrote three svarim on tchelos. Now they still all three together. It's one volume called Shlosha Sefer HaTchelos. It's a small sefer. Originally, he wrote Sefer number one and Sefer number two and then the third Sefer, and now they're all together on one big Sefer. So he writes that he traveled to Italy, he heard there's a big aquarium there, he was going to ascertain which marine animal is the chalazon. So he was looking, he decided that it's the squid fish. The squid spits out this black dye, and he thought that that's it. So he bought a squid fish and he collected the dye, and then he was dyeing the wool, and then every time he dyed the wool, so the dye always went, when he washed the wool afterwards, the dye always went out. It washed out. And the Gemara says that it's not kosher for tchelas unless it doesn't wash out. So he had a problem. He thought that it's this squid fish, and that dye didn't hold. It kept on washing out when he washed out the wool. So he put an advertisement in the Italian newspaper that he needs a chemist and he's willing to pay money, and he needs a chemist to show him how the dye should stick. So a non-Jewish chemist volunteered for money. Why not? He volunteered and he said, what's the problem? So he showed him, I need this color blue and it should be absorbed into the wool, and I keep on dyeing the wool, keeps on washing out. So the guy said, I'll bring you a chemical that will cause it to stick. So the next day he brought him a chemical, shine. So the Radzina Rebbe was very happy. He went back to Poland, to Radzin, and he made a factory, and they were manufacturing chelas up until the Second World War. And tens of thousands of Hasidim from different Hasidim, not only Radzin, and many, many Hasidim, and many, many Misnagdim also. Many, 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 tens of thousands of people were wearing chelas, Radzin and chelas, until the Second World War. The Nazis bombed the whole factory, and no one survived the war who knew the secret. Had to process this stuff. After the war was over, and the Radzina Hasidim, who survived, went to Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to rebuild the Tchelas factory. So the only one who was alive, who knew the secret, what the formula was Chief Rabbi Herzog. Because Rabbi Herzog, when he was a young man, went to university. He was originally a rabbi in Ireland, and he married the daughter of Rabbi Hillman, who was a dayan in London. Very fascinating how he met the daughter. If you read the autobiography of Rabbi Herzog's son, Yaakov Herzog, he had two sons. One son was very learned, Yaakov Herzog, he died young. And the other son was the president of Medina Sissel. He was not Hashem HaMitzvahs. But Yaakov Herzog was a very learned fellow. There was talk they were going to make him the chief rabbi of England, chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. It didn't turn out. So this Yaakov Herzog starts off his autobiography, how his parents met. Very fascinating piece. So Rabbi Herzog had to write a dissertation for his doctorate. You can write it whatever you wanted. So he decided to write on Tchelas. So he researched the whole topic of Tchelas with the Radzina Rebbe. He corresponded with the one who ran the factory in Radzin. So he was the only one who survived, and that was his doctoral dissertation. He wrote all about to identify what is the tchelas. So he writes that it's obvious that the Goyishe chemist fooled the Chassidishe Rebbe, that he gave him a chemical that's known as Prussian blue, and when they made the tchelas in the factory, there's nothing from, none of the dye came from the squid fish. The whole dye was from the synthetic chemical that the guy gave him. It's Prussian blue. You can take this Prussian blue, you make tchelas like that. It's lomala v'lomorid, the dye that he got from the fish, because it all washed out and had the right color because of the Prussian blue, because of the synthetic chemical that he gave. So he said they fooled the Rebbe. So the Radzina Hasidim didn't want to believe that. So then when they made their factory in Eretz, they still manufactured tchelas nuts. So that's one of the tchelas that's available on the market is Radzina tchelas. So it's, according to Rav Herzog, the whole thing is a joke, because there's nothing there menachai. There's nothing. He said they made the chemical tests, and the whole chemical, the whole dye of the Radzina Tchelas is really from the Prussian blue. There's nothing there at all from the fish. So Rav Herzog says the whole thing is a mistake, that the word chalazon is not a fish. The word chalazon means a mollusk. It means a little thing that has a shelled animal. And he quotes all the midrashim like that. Whenever the Medrash talks about chalazon, it means a shelled animal. So he says, obviously, we're talking about some kind of a shelled animal. So he says, you look in all the history books, you look in all the books that they have, they were only the one and only source of a blue dye from the Mediterranean in the days of the Tanaim and so on, is this mollusk that they call whatever, murex trunculus, whatever it is. So he identifies that's the chalazon. So, unfortunately, the one who was mefarsim this in recent years were two guys who learned in YU. One of them has signed up that he's going to speak next week or something. Sturman. Sturman's going to talk together with another guy, Ari Greenspan. Ari Greenspan is a dentist. He likes fun. So Rabbi Tendler wound him up. They were in Rabbi Tendler's class. He wound them up so they both went scuba diving, and they found this chalazon, and they started manufacturing the tchilis. So because it started from Mizrahi, from YU, so that's why the Frumah people didn't accept it. If someone from Meir Sharim would have discovered it, someone from Bnei Brak would have discovered it, so everybody would be wearing tchilis. But they have such a dislike for the modern Orthodox, so that's why nobody wants to wear that. Nobody, a lot of the Frumah people, the Haredim don't want to wear. But it's pretty, it's at least a 50-50 Safik, if not a 98% Safik, that this is the correct tchelas. So the pashtus is that you mechuyif to put on the tchelas. And if you wear a four-cornered garment, you don't put on tchelas, it could be that you're in violation of Baltigra. You're doing a mitzvah shalom b'shleim musa. The din is that if you bring a carbon chatos to the base of mitzvah, it's supposed to be zorked down on all four corners. But yeah, but if you only did one zrika, so you yotze b'di'evet, but if you have enough dam to do four zrikas, and you only do one, so the Mishnah says you're in violation of Baltigra. So the Shagasari has an essay about this based on the Rashba. The Beis Halevi has a lot about this. Let's say a person wears tzitzis, he only puts tzitzis in three corners, he doesn't put in the fourth corner. That's not Baltigra. He's just not yotze the mitzvah tzitzis. Let's say a person has tefillin, he only has three parashas, he doesn't have four. That's not Baltigra. He's just not yotze the mitzvah. Baltigra only applies if there's a mitzvah that's supposed to be done, bishlei musa, like this, and you do it shalom bishlei musa. So b'di'evet you yotze, so then, but you should have done l'chatchila more. So that's a violation of Baltigra. So this is exactly an example. A person has a four-cornered garment, and he has tchelas available, and he doesn't bother to put the tchelas in. So it's better not to wear the four-cornered garment at all. You wear the four-cornered garment, you have kamachuyim and tzitzis, and you're not doing it, and it's available. So you're in violation of Baltigra. If you don't wear the four-cornered garment, so there's no violation of Baltigra. So if they have tchelas available, so you should really use it. So what are the special dinim if you have tchelas? So the Gemara says, because tchelas dama l'rakia, and our tradition has it, the Gemara has in the second parak in Chagiga, that there are seven heavens. Based on Pesukim and Tanakh, there's seven heavens. So you should really have, and in order to have seven heavens, you have to have six Avirim Mapsik. If you don't have Avir Mapsik, that's all one big heaven. So if you have seven heavens, obviously there are six Avirim in between the seven heavens Mapsik. So you have, if you add it all together, you have 13. Seven is six is 13. So the Gemara says, when you have Tcheles Dama L'Rakia, you want to remind yourself of the Rakia, the Kisi HaKovet, God is in heaven above. Reis Moses Chatam Kal Mitzvah Hashem Asisem Oysam. So the Gemara says you should have a minimum of seven and a maximum of 13. So Tosis has two pshatim on the Gemara. Minimum of seven, a maximum of 13. What? So for many generations, we used to make four units. You made a double knot on the tzitzis. You wrapped around 7, 8, 11, 13. You made a double knot, double knot, double knot. You had five double knots and four units. That's called a chulya. And the first chulya, you had seven. Second chulya, you had 8, 11, 13. So that's a minimum of 7, maximum of 13. How many krichas in each chulya? That's one pshat, Tyson says. Then Tyson says the other pshat, no. How many krichas in each chulya? Gemara says 3 krichas. Well, how did it all of a sudden become 7, minimum 7, maximum 13? Means how many chulya should you have? There's man that you don't have chelas, so the minig always was you make 4 chulyas. But when you really have chelas, you're supposed to make a minimum of 7 chulyas. So you have to have 8 double knots. That uses up an awful lot of wool. It uses up an awful lot of string. 8 double knots and 7 chulyas. So if you want to satisfy the both opinions, so you should really make 7 chulyas. Each chulya should have 7 krichas in it. That uses up an awful lot. And then you're going to have 7 chulyas, you're going to have 8 double knots. That uses up, you have to have very long strings to do that. So now they make the strings long enough. So now it's possible to satisfy all of the opinions to do it like that. Then the Rishonim have different traditions. The Gemara says something about you should start with white and end off with white. What does that mean, start with white? So there are different interpretations. So some say the first three krichas should be white, the next three should be blue, the next three should be white. Each three krichas is called a chulya. So you should keep on alternating, three white, three blue, three white, three blue. Others say no, the first chulya should be white, the next chulya should be blue, the next chulya should be white, the next chulya should be blue. And then the Rambam has a third opinion. The Rambam makes life easier than everybody else. The Rambam says the first kricha around should be white, the last kricha should be white, and all the other kricha should be blue. Because it says psil trelas. Psil means tzedreit, winding around. So the trelas should be winding around. Only the very first and the last kricha should be white, and everything else should be blue. So there are different opinions. At least over there, that the Gemara says before, that's not miyakev. However you did it, that's not miyakev. How many strings are supposed to be blue? How many white? That's a more serious shiloh. But in the Shulchan Aruch, the only opinion that's quoted is Rashi and Tosfos, too long blue and too long white. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells that there was an Amora, Rabbi Baba Chana, who was traveling in the desert, and he had as a tour guide an Arab, Ahutaya, and he was showing him all the different sites. So he says, do you want to see where Korach Vadosa got swallowed up in the earth? So he shows him, and he shows him all the dead bodies from the Meisei Midbar. So when Rabbi Baba Chana finished his whole tour of traveling in the desert, they came back to the Beis Medrash, and he told them all the different things that he saw. He saw the Meisei Midbar. So they said, oh, you saw the Meisei Midbar. Did you look at the tzitzis to see how many strings were there? Is it like Bishamay, like Bisilu? Were there six short strings or eight short strings? Did you look how many were trailers? So he says, it didn't think, it didn't occur to him. So he said, what an idiot. You were there and you saw the Meisei Midbar. You didn't check to see. So you see from the Gemara that if you have archaeological evidence to ascertain what the halacha is, you would follow the archaeological evidence. Because the pashta should be like that. So here also, here they have archaeological evidence that this is the real Tchelus, that this Murus Tranquilus, this is the Chalazon, this is the shellfish that they made the Tchelus from. So the Pashto says from the Gemara, you follow archaeological evidence. Okay, it's a very fascinating topic, the discovery of the new Tchelus and exactly all the details. There's a lot written on this. It's a very fascinating topic to research on your own. Very good. Have a nice day, everybody.
Thank you very much.